I had a fun morning. So there's been a, like, there's a bunny that is in our yard. There's, I'm sure there's no many
such thing
of them.
As, there's no such thing as bunnies, Sean. They're rabbits.
This is a bunny. It's small.
No, a bunny. A bunny is not is not an animal. It's a rabbit.
I want to call it a bunny. Why can't I?
You can want to call it whatever you want. You can call it Susan if you like, but it's not. It's a rabbit.
I see. Okay. Well, there was a rabbit.
Okay.
That was living in my yard, and the dogs had been trying to find the rabbit, or they knew where it was, but they were trying to let us know. I don't know what they're doing for the last, I don't know, 2 days,
the hounds
3 days
are out.
And then Dale went out this morning and he caught the rabbit.
Ooh, good job.
The rabbit did not make it. So Anakin and him will have something to talk about now because they're both murderers.
That's good. Yeah.
It was quite uncomfortable.
The rabbits don't hang out in our yard as much anymore because of Anakin. We did have I was getting on the treadmill yesterday morning and looked out the front window and there's a fox on the front porch.
Oh, wow.
And then he runs around the corner of the house. I see him in the other window to the right of the treadmill. And he goes over to the gate, under the gate, and into the backyard. So I run into the backyard so I can, like, it's like 5:30 in the morning. I run into the backyard to try and, like, chase him out. Couldn't find him.
But
apparently
weird.
The fox is trying to find my bunnies. Rabbits.
Well, could you send him to get the well, I don't know. I guess my rabbit might be gone. Maybe there's no more, but...
Oh, there'll be more. They're everywhere.
Yes.
There's many of them. Probably more rabbits than people in there.
There are a lot of them. I do see a lot of them just right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
I like the description under your name.
This is my show. Yes, I'm editing that on the fly. So it changes to something else. It's totally me.
What show is it?
I think it's called The Passport something. I forget.
Oh.
I like the on the fly. It's like the like television announcer thing. They'll put it under like the, you know, local man saw flying object or whatever. Big orange car guy.
Oh yeah.
I saw one the other day. There was a local news interviewing a NASCAR driver at a NASCAR race, but they didn't know they were interviewing a driver. So it said, like, this kid's name is, like, Connor, and, like, underneath it, it said NASCAR fan. And so it's been going around the internet, like, going around, like,
I mean,
NASCAR Twitter, I didn't know you were a fan.
You could be a fan and a driver. That's, you know.
Is it wrong? Is he not
you
a fan?
You could be both.
That's pretty funny, though.
That's really funny.
Did you see the, I'm sure you've seen the Cletus at Talladega in little pre-race interview?
Yeah.
He's funny. His shtick sometimes is a little much, maybe, but it's still funny.
It's pretty funny, though.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. We should probably do a podcast. It is the Campfire Passport Podcast. So.
It is, at least. Yeah. Okay.
There it is.
So we were... talking about in our text message group, like news. And I think the most exciting news that's come out recently is the Slate pickup. So I think Mike jumped on this pretty quick because he's been like a big, I need a really simple work truck that's electric maybe kind of guy. So this thing is the most simple and it is all electric. So it's pretty interesting. The Autopian did a thing on it that I was pretty interested in. Because they photoshopped it or illustrated it, I guess maybe would be a better way to say it, the backpack camper. Pretty sweet. So for those that haven't looked, This is a new auto manufacturer.
Does it have the extra butt on it, like that Wrangler?
Oh yeah, sure does.
That I showed you guys before. It's got a little extra butt on there.
Yeah, have you ever seen one of these, like on an Astro Van chassis, and still got the little extra thing, extra butt?
Mm-hmm. Extra butt.
Anyways, it's this new auto manufacturer.
It's a Slate L.
Slate L, yes.
Yeah. Slate long.
It's the 15 passenger slate.
Long way.
Yeah. So Slate is.
It kind of made it just look like a the Ford Transit delivery van.
Yeah, kind of. It's got some interesting styling cues. Like it kind of looks a little Defender-ish. There's some other stuff going on there, but
Honda Element
is. Yep, definitely Element. Definitely.
A little Defender, a little Bronco Sport.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Here's the website. There is a configurator, so we could
let's build configurate one live.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to personalize it. I'm going with the blank slate to start, because why
of
wouldn't
course.
I? This is going to be great for radio people.
I thought that was the only way you could get them was blank. Yeah. I thought that was the whole shtick.
You might be right. There are some starter packs. I don't think I'm interested in a starter pack, right? Well, it'd be great if I could see it. Okay. Body style. Here we go. I like the SUV. I don't like the
they got slopey a notch SUV. Back, huh?
Yeah, that's dumb. But there we go. Boxy SUV. Got the SUV kit. Without doors? No, I don't want doors. Oh, no, I do.
It's not a
I
Jeep. You can't do that.
Open air. No, I don't want either one of those things. Actually, you're right. Okay. And then color, which is only a wrap because it comes in one color. Of course, I'm picking green. Maybe this green is better. No, I don't think so.
I don't know about that.
Chrome?
Chrome is probably the best choice, right?
Yeah.
Or orange.
There we go.
Luke's not building it though, so we can't do it.
Yeah, this is for me, not for Luke.
Yeah.
No. I went with sand. It's a sand slate.
Sand, okay.
Roof rack? Yeah, why not?
Roof rack.
Bumper upgrade? Yep. Tire carrier? Sure. Front bumper upgrade? Definitely. Fender flares? No, I'm just going to rip those off eventually anyways. Some running boards, bed step. Want none of it. No running boards. It's our wheel and hold on. Let's go back. So there was the lift kit.
Oh yeah, we need that.
Oh yeah. Lift it up.
Look at that.
Lift kit. Oh wow.
It has a factory lift kit. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's funny because you can
Or a lowering kit.
You can kind of get
lowered.
Hell yeah! I'm going mini truck. I don't give a shit about it. This isn't an overlander. It should be a mini
exactly.
Truck.
So I was thinking about it. I was like, oh no.
So I
no
guess
one
in
offers
electric mini trucks. You just drag the battery around.
Yeah,
it's safe.
Lots
don't
of
worry.
Sparks that way. Lots of sparks. Yeah. None of these are good. These all are all stupid. I don't want any of that. Regular slate front.
Okay.
All right. Wheels and tires is where it gets interesting.
Yeah, two options. Oh, you got a couple. Okay.
Yeah, this is what I'm doing here. Oh, yeah. Big old meats on the black steely. It's a 17-inch all-terrain tire. It's a little weird, but... okay. Yeah, I'm doing that. That's cool. It's a bit much, but I like it. So that's like a wheel decal. Yeah, wheel decal set. The throwback. Lighting. Front light upgrade. What is it? I still want it.
It's those middle lights, yeah.
Ooh, clear tail lights?
Ooh, oh, no, they're man. Gone.
They're like a couple different. They're different styles, but they're not that different. Oh yeah, I'm definitely going clear taillights.
Got to do the Altezas on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right. So interior. Oh my god.
Look at all these options.
There might be too many options. I don't want the interior decals. I do want a center console. in black. Okay. This is so boring. I don't think I want that. It doesn't really tell you what these options are. It's kind of annoying. Tablet mount, sure. Steering wheel accents, no. Climate control, no. Oh, it's auxiliary buttons. Yeah, I'll take the auxiliary buttons. What that is? A key fob color. No. That's stupid. Wow, there are so many options. Window crank accents. Yeah, for
something that they said was basic, they got a lot of options. Well,
the idea here is, as we're doing this, that it comes with nothing.
Yeah.
So you can add whatever you want, or you can get a super, super, super base model. I just got power windows. There we go.
Wow. And that's going against what it stands for, though, Sean.
What do you mean? No, that's the beauty of it. You get to add things if you want them. Mm. But I could get like power windows, but still a bench seat or something. Like I could get the most. I could only get power windows if I wanted.
It's like upgrading your car in Need for Speed.
Yeah. There's the audio and tech. I don't know what.
Well, now I saw really one like of the audio things is just a clip mount to mount your Bose
Speaker.
Your Bluetooth speaker under the dash.
All right, I think that's good. Doesn't really show you much though. Can I just see it? Summary. I can reserve it.
Isn't the reserve like super cheap too?
It's like $50.
Yeah.
Should I just reserve one?
Just reserve one. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Okay, well, that was really...
Will this be like the Tesla Roadster where like it's just vaporware for the next 10
Almost
years?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, now that we've done the absolute most boring thing that we've ever done on this show...
I don't know.
You sure?
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to talk about Volkswagen.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know if that's boring.
Oh.
Well, I don't know.
I think it's boring times, though.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
I think it's a pretty cool little rig. It's interesting. I wasn't like super, super blown away by it, but I thought it was pretty cool. The fact that it's going to be super cheap is interesting. All the extra options are kind of cool. I watched a video on it today just to make sure that I knew a little bit about it. And it is some of the options are a little, I don't know, just like goofy, not really consequential to the actual car. So it's a lot of like, you can pick any interior color pieces you want and you can mix and match all of them. And it's like, okay, well, the freedom of that is kind of cool, but it's not really anything super crazy. It has like a couple different battery sizes and they're talking about aftermarket batteries. And then it also has like a lift and lower thing, which you saw, which is kind of cool. And I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't know if anybody makes a lift kit like from the factory, but they kind of do. Like if you think about like a Tremor or whatever, like it's kind of lifted from ZR2. The factory. So it's kind of, ZR2. Like, so it's kind of the
Wrangler, the Rubicon Recon is a 2-inch lift from the base from the standard Rubicon.
Yeah. See,
the 392s all come with a 2-inch lift over the normal Rubicon. So,
yeah. So it's not completely crazy, but it is interesting. Similar news. I saw an article. I decided to scroll through Expedition Portal because I know Colin always does that one, and I thought, oh, let me check and see what they've got going on. Of course, they've got, oh my god, pop-ups. The 2025 Tasman X Pro is ready for launch in Australia. So this is becoming our. I want this to be our Dacia Sandero. Really, that's what I. Look at that ugly thing.
I like that.
It's awesome.
So at some point, someone just needs to say, there's a new Kia Tasman coming out.
Exactly. Excellent news, everyone. The Kia Tasman X Pro.
Anyway.
It's got the X-Trek mode. I mean, it's a notable X-Trek addition. I think I would have this over the slate. So there's that.
Did we decide if this had a low range in it?
I don't know if we ever talked about it, but I'm like fairly certain it does. because it has like, yeah, it's got a pretty big towing capacity and everything too. I don't know.
8-speed auto.
Let's see.
4-cylinder diesel.
It's got a crawl control system. Locking rear diff. It must, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's not electric, so I kind of lean towards I would think it would. Because it seems mm-hmm. to be the only ones that don't have the low range so far of the, like, mid-sized truck market is the Chinese...
Yeah.
The shark that.
So,
according to Google AI, it does.
Yeah, I was just looking at the same thing, Luke. Let's check its sources, though.
Never wrong, so, you know, it's just going to spout it off and move on as if it's.
I'll tell you what, I have seen it. Okay, yeah. So, 2-wheel drive and a 4-wheel drive. Oh, CarBuzz says that they expect it to feature a low-range transfer case, but they do not have it listed separately.
Hmm.
That was back in October, though, so.
So CarBuzz could be wrong.
Yeah. The fact that it's got a 2- or 4-wheel drive. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it does have. 4x4 Australia claims that it definitely has a four-wheel or a low range and a high range and 2-wheel drive and an auto setting.
Okay.
Much like that found in the current Ranger.
Yeah. I'll be
and every other 4-wheel drive.
I'll be interested to see when the boys at 4-wheel drive 27 get a hold of one to do a little test like they seem to do with all the new mid-sized trucks and everything.
Yeah, it's been fun to kind of watch them do some of that stuff a little more lately.
They're members of the press. They get press late stuff. Yep. So.
Cool. That was the big thing. The other thing, I guess, that we were talking about, we were all in an article other than Luke.
Except for Luke.
I'm really sorry, Luke.
Other than me.
Dave wasn't in it either.
Oh, Dave was supposed to be in it.
Jesse asked if he called me. But I don't have a way to tell because I don't like know what area code Ken's in.
Yeah.
But my voicemail box was full because apparently I had like 100 spam calls that went to voicemail that I didn't know about. So if he did call, I don't know.
I think it's because
no clue.
They're my pictures mostly. And I don't think I have any pictures of your rig because I think every time that I was taking pictures or Morgan was taking pictures, you were ahead. So I only have that one of Mike's, like, I said, I was like at Super Bowl. Yeah, you were too busy winning. Anyways, yeah, Off-Road Extreme with an X. We are, there's a nice little article about will your 4x4 make it through the Rubicon?
John, Extreme always has an X. What do you mean Off-Road Extreme with an X?
Starting with an X.
Without an E.
Without an E.
Sure, yes. Without an E. That works. Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. You're not wrong. I just... Yeah. Anyways, here it is. Here you go.
Here you go.
A little bit of a feature on some of the rigs. And yeah, it was a good little read. Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool how it was structured was interesting. Like because we didn't mm-hmm. have any of that information on the front end. It was just a, hey, could you send us information on your vehicles?
Yeah.
And like that was it. There was no real like, this is what we're, how we're gonna frame it or anything like that. So it was kind of interesting to see that it was like a, you know. Here's a rundown of these vehicles that did make it and what happened to them when so
yeah, the conversation kind of was like,
it's funny. I was
go ahead, Luke.
Well, I was just after reading it and like posting about it and stuff last night, I was like thinking about like we were 10 like very much rookies, had really not a lot of, we had like a pretty minuscule idea of what to do and where to do it and like how to really navigate through obstacles and stuff. And not a lot of like spare parts, sure, not a lot of duplicate rigs where you could borrow parts from one to the other and that kind of stuff. And, you know, aside from a couple trail welds, I'm actually pretty impressed with what
we did. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Like looking back on it, I'm like, that's actually, we did a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm proud. It was kind of nice to send it to like my family that like doesn't really understand what that meant at all.
Yeah.
For them to go like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I liked the Oliver's section there where it talks about how his wheel fell off twice.
Yeah, I was going to say my favorite line is Oliver reports that his rig blew an O-ring on the power steering line, the upper ear of the driver's side radius arm snapped, and the driver's side wheel fell off twice.
Twice.
Driver's side front wheel, sorry, fell off twice, which is true.
Yeah.
The radio message, I did a ka-chow, will forever live in my mind, I think.
Yep.
Pretty funny.
Oh man.
Mike's was flawless.
Really, really funny. Yeah, I think that's really cool. I don't know what made me gravitate towards opening the website yesterday, but I was like pleasantly surprised to be like at the very header of the page was like, wait, I know
that's truck. Jesse's truck. That's
funny. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked. I knew it was coming, obviously, but it was pretty cool to see it come up finally.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are you not? Oh, there we go. There's the stop sharing button. Cool. Those are the kind of newsy things that I had. I don't know if either one of you guys came up with anything or have seen anything cool in the last couple of weeks. We haven't recorded for a couple of weeks.
Did you guys talk about Holman and his?
Oh no, shit. Yeah, that's something that's interesting.
During our off period,
our break.
I mean, I don't know. You know, so Sean Holman was on his way. Sean, a truck show podcast, formerly of Motor Trend, OVR magazine. What else? A bunch of other stuff. The head of the Mojave Heritage Trail Association.
Yep.
On his way to Moab for Easter Jeep Safari, had something caused him to go off the road. I don't really know what, but rolled his Jeep a couple times, had his daughter in the front seat. They both ended up hospitalized. I think his daughter's still hospitalized here going on 2 weeks, but it sounds like they're improving based on the updates I get from the like truck show podcast Facebook thing. So it sounds like Sean's been discharged. They're doing like outpatient rehab, and then daughter's still in doing her rehab stuff. They're, you know, but there is a GoFundMe out there if you want to go find it, if that's your kind of thing. It's why is my phone? Anyway, sorry, my phone started vibrating. Please silence your phones. Yeah, that's kind of all I had on that. Luckily, with such a serious incident like that, Jeep did its job as far as saving its, you know, its occupants surviving a crash like that. So, and I guess some like an off-duty like paramedic was like on the highway and kind of saw it happened and did some like emergency, you know, makeshift like rendering aid kind of thing and called EMS and all that, and, you know, probably helped their situation a little bit there too.
Yeah, so that's probably
cool. Yeah, what a gnarly incident.
Yeah.
So he's been like sharing updates on his Instagram reels and stuff too.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's where I was seeing it as well. Like I said in the group text, like I initially saw like the picture of it somewhere. I don't even remember where now, but I just like kind of scrolled past it, not even paying attention because it was just like, oh, here's a wrecked Jeep, you know, whoop-de-doo, you know, kept scrolling. And then Luke sent that text saying, did you guys see that Sean was in an accident? And I was like, oh, that was the Jeep I was looking at. Like, just weird, you know, kind of small world type stuff, like semi-known character in the automotive world, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, especially in the, like, off-road truck, four-wheeling, overlanding, you know, he's pretty big in that space, not just as a, you know, influencer journalist, but he like is a big advocate for it too. When SEMA goes to like the California State House to try and enact or pass or protect trail systems or legislation or whatever, or DC, he goes and works with SEMA and work towards, you know, preserving or expanding, you know, the overland off-road stuff.
Yeah.
So pretty important in the space that we all use. So
absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely a little scary thing.
Yeah, that's all I had on that. So yeah, really scary thing. But
well, speaking of going on long trips that could be scary, you going on a sweet long trip this weekend, Colin?
I don't know about long.
I mean, it's kind of long.
It's just the weekend, you know? yeah, we're going to do the, in honor of Sean, customary first trip to the Alvord. And I was just, I had a plan. And then my plan has been thwarted
by a
text that I just got from Steve minutes before starting to record here. So I get to change what my route plan is based on that information. Well, the original plan was just we're just gonna head to the Alvord straight off and then like work our way back in some form or fashion. And I thought that it might be a good opportunity because I looked at all the snow cameras and there's like no snow anywhere to do Mike's Dirty Deep Holes, but in reverse.
Okay.
And actually do the side of the road that I wanted to do rather than our jump out. And so I was looking at the camera up on the Firewatch and there's no snow. There's nothing up there. There's even way out in the distance towards the Steens. There's like a couple of little patches and that's it.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. Perfect. That we'll be able to run that backwards. It's only 35 miles, I think is what it is. And then we can get out there and then go over to Diamond Craters and, you know, just putt around Diamond Craters, check that out a little bit and then camp out there.
Yeah.
And then what happened was I got a text from Steve and it's a screenshot from Onyx and another local person put a trail report in there, Mr. Eric Dahlin, the Montero guy that works at Technique.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
He was apparently there April 26th. And says that that road is obstructed, deep snow. Coming from the south side of the trail is currently impassable due to deep snow drifts and is still needs to melt off. Ground is also quite muddy, and the vehicles are getting sucked into ruts very easily. So we're all too familiar with that.
Yep.
So I get to now figure out a different path to take for that. Man. So, and we're, you know, not even 2 days away from going. So, you know,
that's the best time to do it, right?
Just gonna add that to all the other shit I got to get done before I can actually, you know, leave. So
what else do you have to do to prep? Where's your rig prep at?
Rig prep is fine. Other than packing. So, I did manage to get time to do the rear diff oil. I got my skid plate is for the transfer case was cut, bent, and I installed it. So nice. There's that. So that's cool. And then I did my engine oil because that was unnecessary as well. So I still have to do the transmission oil and filter. So got to do that and then just packing. But other than that, like the vehicle is fine.
There you go. That's good.
But I've got, you know, all my freaking school shit that I got to make sure I'm caught up on. And of course, there's a ton of shit that's due on Monday.
Got it.
So I have to like hammer that out before I can go. That way I've got it all fucking done and turned in before the deadline, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, more personal things than it is like the rig stuff that I have to get handled. So
probably. Yeah, that makes sense. Who all is going?
It sounds like we've got Jesse, Steve, Robert, me, Tyson, and Aaron.
Okay. That'll be a good group.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. Has Aaron done any, he have any new things coming up, or is his rig good to go?
I have no idea. I haven't.
Sometimes he just surprises us.
Yeah, he kind of sneaks around with that a little bit, like kind of like I do with my regular cars. Because last year he surprised us with the wheels, tires, and bumper.
Yep.
There's no winch in the bumper, but it is a winch bumper. So I'm curious if maybe he threw a winch in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't heard if he's gone crazy on it yet or not. So.
And then Robert just went through his bigger tire journey and a bumper and a winch, right?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He got bullied into that. So that's good.
Jesse's a great friend.
Well, Jesse's the one that ends up doing all the work too. So
yeah,
it's he is his own worst enemy there.
Yeah, exactly.
He volunteers himself a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very generous with his time.
Yeah. Is Tyson gonna try diesel heater round 3? Is that?
That's the vibe I'm getting.
He did it on that snow camping trip and it worked.
It worked flawlessly. You know,
without the snow. It worked really well. So.
Yeah. He's on the same train as I am because he's putting Seamus in his own space. And okay. So he got the same little splitter for the ducting.
Oh, yeah. That I like did. You've got.
And it's got butterfly valves on it so you can like close one down a little bit compared to the other, which I need because one tube is longer than the other. So if they're both wide open, the long tube gets nothing. So I've got to close off the short tube a certain amount so that it creates some back pressure to push some heat up my way. But he's doing the same thing. And so, yeah, he should be on the diesel heater train, but the weather, it doesn't look like it's going to get too terribly cold, but of course it's like 60s and 70s all this week.
Mm-hmm. And
then Saturday it says it's going to rain. And then come Monday, it's 60s and 70s for the foreseeable future. So, you know, per the usual, the weather out there says it's going to be shit while you're here. Thanks.
That's basically what happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday. Yuck. Well, fingers crossed for you.
Yeah. We'll see. What's you alluded to, you guys are doing a trip also though. So are we having competing trips here? We're having a trip off.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes. How did you refer to your trip as? It was in. Observe. What was your in something?
Oh, as a in memoriam.
Yeah. So in memoriam of your memorial trip, we're going to Moab.
Oh, and okay.
It is a similar weather situation, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's,
yeah,
it's actually raining right now, but I think it's supposed to be really nice on Thursday, Friday, and it's, who knows, Saturday, Sunday. Might get a little dicey.
Kind of iffy Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to go. So Eileen and I went to this little, like, backcountry resort kind of thing in a little town called Gateway, which is south of Grand Junction on the Colorado border. Mm-hmm. And realized that there's like one of several ways to do back roads over the LaSalle, like the north side of the LaSalle Mountains from Gateway to Moab. So we're going to go in the back way there. And then, I don't know. I have a few like ideas of, because I think Sean's been busy with work for the last couple of weeks. So I've kind of spent my free time at work scouting routes and doing all that. But yeah. I kind of have an idea of what we want to do and do like some just overlandy stuff, maybe some moderate light like wheeling. But then we'll both have dogs, and then Eileen will be in Florida, but we'll have Sean's wife as well. And so I don't think anybody wants to do any like serious rock crawling, but we'll try and squeeze a little
bit. You do, but
yeah. Yeah, I think
yeah, I do, and Sean does, but if it were just the two of us and nobody else, then yes, we would.
I think it's the dogs more than anything. But
yeah, that's how it is with me for sure, is Anakin gets freaked out with some of the wheeling stuff, so.
But we'll do some light stuff. It'll be fun.
Okay. Yeah. The LaSalle's down there.
Based on some research, it looks like.
Really?
Yeah. They come up out of nowhere. As you're leaving Moab, basically, if you're starting in Moab, because that's the way I've always gotten into them, you like kind of leave, and then as soon as you get into the road that they're in there, it's like crazy steep, and you just climb and climb and climb. And like the time I drove, like kind of did like a little loop up through there, it was in the Montero, and I thought I was going to have to put it in low range to go up because Montero was just like no air because it's getting thin and it had no power anyway. Uh-huh. Plus it was on 35s, no gears. So it was just like, it was dogging to get up that fucking thing.
Oh man.
Yeah. They're surprisingly tall.
All right, yeah. Cool. Good to know.
Well, they're like the western edge of the Rockies. So
yeah. It's a really
some
cool
of that
contrast.
Stuff in the LaSalle's is the longer trip that goes from Montrose all the way to like South Moab over the LaSalle's is still mostly closed with snow.
Yeah, but, I'm not surprised.
So we're going to do the shorter one that's lower elevation on the north side. But
okay.
That gets you to like Onion Creek towards top of the world, like west. Northwest side of Moab up the Colorado River.
We saw a moose out there. I know that sounds weird that there would be moose there, but there was a moose.
That's crazy.
It was a baby moose or like a juvenile teenage moose, but it was the weirdest thing because like we're just driving and like look over. Like, what the fuck is that? Because, like, it doesn't look like a deer or an elk or anything that you would like naturally like in your head be used to seeing, and then we're just like, that was a damn moose is what that was.
All right,
yeah,
that's awesome. I wouldn't expect that. There are bears. I would expect,
right? But. Yeah. Any ideas on what trail, since you know I know some of the stuff there, any ideas on the trails you're thinking about, so maybe I can give you a don't bother or a yeah do that one?
Well, so Onion Creek for sure as kind of a traverse because it's kind of going to where we're going to end up.
Right.
And then maybe top of the world if we decide to.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking about Lockhart Basin because I think that there's like either end of it. I think the north end by like – so I was thinking maybe like Chicken Corners and Lockhart Basin for like a Saturday, Sunday kind of thing. I don't know. I've got a few different things kind of – we'll talk about it when we're out there because I'm not like hard set on anything. But for a longer overland, like a two-day or like an overnight trip, it looks like Lockhart Basin might be mostly doable except for like one spot that might be a little iffy for having passengers, but that's kind of one that's caught my eye. And then Chicken Corners. And what else? Top of the World was one.
So
just because it's like such an iconic view.
Yeah. Here's my 2 cents on Chicken Corners. It's boring. It's basically...
You didn't like it, huh?
No, it's basically two-wheel drive the whole way. And
really?
Like the sights are fairly good. But it is, mm-hmm. it is totally like, there's like one spot that like you could use four-wheel drive and feel a little better about it, but
okay.
Nothing is challenging. And just for further reference, when I was at, this was Stock Disco 2 out there when I did that one.
So, super capable, so, by the way.
And not, no tires, still had the stock size yeah. tires on it. And I watched, personally, saw an old man with his old wife take a Hyundai Tucson out Chicken Corners. That is how
nice.
Basic that one is.
All and right, it takes, well, that's good to know.
And it takes a long time because it's an out and back and it's quite a ways. Yeah. So okay. it is. There are some pretty good camp spots, though, out there. If you were planning on camping okay. while you're out there, like that one, I could see doing like going out to the end of it for the views of it and then coming back and like camping at a camp spot on the way back. And then yeah. moving on the next day.
Because it intersects with Lockhart Basin. So yeah. it could maybe be like a morning out there, turn around, come back, and then start your Lockhart Basin trip and then camp halfway down that or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe something I thought about. And then the other one, I watched a couple things on 7 Mile Rim.
7 Mile Rim's cool.
Which looks like it's like, looks like pretty, it's pretty cool with some like moderate wheeling, yep. nothing too
yeah, stock, crazy. Stock Disco 2 did that one as well. Trucks, so... I did. Okay. I did lift a wheel in one spot, but that was cool. And that's a disco thing anyway. But yeah, there's like so on that one, you can go and see the Uranium Arch, which is pretty cool. So and it's like, you know how like arches are the thing out there. Uranium Arch doesn't really get mm-hmm. visited much, so potentially you okay. you can get out there because it's also on a 4x4 trail to get to it, so you could have that okay. whole place to yourself, like checking that out. Yeah. the twin, what is it, like Bonneter Rocks or whatever, there's two
yeah
like, big spires.
They're named after the Civil War ships,
yeah. That's a pretty cool thing because you get to drive right in between them, and
that's cool,
like and then like down the side of another one. It's a really, that trail like has a ton of stuff. And then, like you said, it's like mm-hmm. a moderate bit of wheeling that's like not too crazy. There's a spot that's pretty interesting after the monitors. You like kind of come down okay. this weird little rock thing. But like, again, Stock Disco 2 did it. So you guys will be fine. It's just like, that's the bit of the interesting part. But for the most part, it's just kind of a cool, relaxed wheeling day.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I watched a video of some Jeeper. I think it's, I don't know, Trail Recon or something like that. And they're very much Jeepers, right? So they're
yeah.
maybe not doing as hardcore stuff. And it looked like there was a couple spots that were like, you know, some stair steps up a ledge. And then a couple like those like off-camber big slabs that reminded me of the Rubicon.
Yeah.
That aren't hard. They're just interesting to drive down because yep. you're like at weird angles.
Yeah, that's but, that's a very... accurate way to describe it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's even a mini crack. So, you know, the all too famous crack, that's the, I think it's
crack in the ground.
Yeah. Crack. It's on
in Christmas Valley.
No, it's called, it's, I can't remember.
You're talking
I
about
know
like
it's,
the Hell's Revenge thing.
I don't remember. I don't think it's on Hell's Revenge. There's a real famous crack that's out there. It yeah. might be on Golden uh-huh. Spire or something like that. Mm. But we've all seen videos of people doing it. And it's a pretty sizable crack. But there's on 7 Mile, there's like a mini version of that.
Okay. Right.
So it was somewhat challenging in the Stock Disco. But, you know, it was just kind of a funny little like, oh, it's like a little mini one. fun, cute.
All right, cool.
Some of those are so funny because it's like, it's not necessarily that one you're talking about, the like the one that is so famous, you know, that has tire tracks going up it.
Yeah.
It's not like those kind of things are necessarily hard, but they're visually intimidating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just, you know, driving up a rock, but it looks like it's scary as
a lot of what Moab is like. And I think we've talked about this before, is like, it's such a, like, we know there's tons of grip for the most part in almost everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's because that's just the nature of those rocks. But it's the open, like, if something goes wrong, where does my car and I go other than into who knows where? Like, it could get out of hand compared to, like, you know, where we're at or whatever, where it's like, oh, it's going to hit this tree and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah.
It's not going to roll for who knows how long out of control until it hits a car at the bottom of the freaking escalator or whatever.
Yeah. Like Klein. Yeah. There's places you can roll a truck at Klein, but for the most part, you're just going to lean it over onto a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely different, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. It's a cool place, man.
Yeah. I spent some time trying to figure out why my Speedo isn't working the other day. That sucked. Didn't fix it. Hate that. And yeah, a couple little just like bolt check things on my rig because I never got around to doing my transfer case gears. So that is, it's pretty much just as is. I got a new tent that I am not sure. I don't know if it's going to be here. It was supposed to be here on Tuesday, which was yesterday. So,
well, I mean, while that's, you're waiting, you might as well do the transfer case gears.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah. Because,
you know, everybody knows that the week before a trip, you got to do a transfer case.
Yeah. Believe me, I thought about it. I was under there. There's like a slight leak.
We've talked about splitting a press and
yeah,
like knocking it out in the driveway one night.
Yeah. I'm certain that I'm going to pop that thing open and find something I don't want to find. So I really shouldn't do that.
That's why you need that spare case.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, I had one ready to go and this guy dropped off the face of the earth. Good old Facebook Marketplace.
Man, that sucks.
It's annoying.
Yeah. What did I do? I added some more lighting in the canopy. I put a solar vent fan in the top of the tent.
Nice. Okay.
Just to circulate a little air. Pretty excited about that one. It's like $20 on Amazon.
Nice.
And had like decent reviews with some of the GFC people on like Facebook or the, you know, their own GFC forum. And then got a fuel filter skid plate. That's pretty important.
Turns out.
Turns out. And oh, I don't know if I'm gonna make my heater work because I think I gotta tear it apart and replace or clean it, or I don't know, maybe I get shit in a fuel line, I don't know. But I did add found on Etsy, a guy in Switzerland makes these magnetic like CNC machined aluminum portholes. That have a like magnetic cover and then a magnetic adapter to your hose for your heater. Put that in the side of the tent, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
But I don't know that I'll get to use it this week, but I don't know that I'll need to either.
Yeah. But I was just looking at the weather again just in case, but I don't think I want to deal with it. I hate putting my heater on the car. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Well, when we start going into the real mountains, I think we will probably.
Yeah, like I said, elevation in the LaSalle's is pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and like, I mean, I've been to like Crested Butte in July, and like it gets below freezing at night.
Oh my god!
Because you're at 9,000 feet. So.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's not snowy, it's just cold.
Okay, well, that's something. Cool. Well, yeah, that's the trip report.
Okay.
Yeah, that's our goals anyway. So
thanks for planning that, Luke. Really stepped into your spot, Colin. It was nice. He did tell me that he was sorry that he didn't keep all the information from me, though.
Yeah, so that's what you got to do.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
I told him there was one thing I forgot, and that was to keep it a secret.
I'm going to show up, and he's going to be like, actually, I changed the entire
thing. Everything, yeah. Everything he's told actually,
we're going
to
campus.
Yeah.
I hope you like Kansas.
I don't know about that. All right. Well, you got a would you pay money for this?
I do.
Was that a sound effect?
It was. I didn't. All right. It wouldn't let me preview it. So that's what we got.
All right. I can't hear it.
Good enough.
Where do you want me to start?
Cheapest.
Cheapest. Okay. Let's see. Now I gotta see what my prices were because I don't remember. Okay, it's not that. Okay, we're gonna start right here then. So let's go back. It's kind of disorienting when it puts the when I look at it and it goes to the little side screen. There we go. So. All right, so what we have here is not a 1990 Suzuki Samurai. Okay? Not. Okay. Because it's a Daihatsu Rocky. And it's got the age-old styrofoam cup graphics on there, which is great. I love it. And it looks to be in pretty decent shape. Has a little winch bucket in the factory front bumper. I mean, not terrible.
No. I feel like a lot of these have winches. I feel like I've seen many of them set up just like this, or I've just seen this one 100 times.
Well, it's because you can use a UTV winch because they're so tiny and light.
That's true.
So they're cheap.
New head gasket.
Yeah, 90. Tires have less than 300 miles. New starter, new water pump. Comes with an extra engine and transmission. And just about every part you'd need to make another car.
I'd love to see what that list of parts looks like to this
how
guy.
How far that means. runs and drives. Problem with it running rich. And he capitalized it like it's a name. And then didn't capitalize I after that. And I don't have time to dive into it. It is a very cool car, gets lots of looks. I personally have only ever seen one other Rocky driving. Open to trades or make offer. $4,000.
Yeah, I mean, they're interesting, but I don't think I need to own one. So I'm going to say no. Oh, I was waiting for the noise.
I don't know if I've got one for you.
Same one again. <I don't know. laughs> Just use the same one. It's perfect.
Sure.
How easily can you just like samurai these into rock crawlers?
Probably just as easy as
a
samurai.
Yeah, it's going to be just as easy, I would think, yeah. I'm a yes. Yeah. I would pay money for that.
I was on the fence, but I think I'm a drag. I don't like the look. They just don't look very
like I said, that's an appropriate-ish sound.
You know, I'm working with what I've got here, okay?
I can't hear the mobile sound.
I can't hear it at all?
Sound effects.
Really?
No.
Okay. Weird. Well, why would I be able to?
Why can Sean hear it and you can't?
I don't know.
Huh.
Maybe because this computer sucks, too.
Okay.
All right, well, let's see. All right, so next up, we have... It was this guy. Yes. This is going to throw you guys through a loop here, I think.
What in the heck is this?
All right. So what we have here is, if it'll let me scroll, is an 85 extra cab Toyota 5,500. One of a kind rock crawler with a Z axis control system for unparalleled articulation. Frame is cut behind the cab with a vertically mounted crane slewing, quote unquote, bearing for front and rear to rotate on, but controlled by hydraulic ram.
Okay.
Hydraulic rotation on Z axis, which that's not actually the Z axis if we're talking machining reasons, but Z is up and down, not forward and back. But also a dump bed built in for trail maintenance. Oh. Second transfer case for very low speed crawling. Toolbox, winch, front, rear, and wheel lighting on board air compressed. These, I don't know why these are slashes. This is weird. This layout is about as good as his truck layout. And tank, 35-inch tires, 22R, locked rear, separated electrical system to isolate hydraulics, stereo and CB green stickered, exo cage, front and rear stingers, and matching half doors, non-op.
Yeah, no, not streetable.
Back reg do, one of the most unique 4x4s in existence. God. Worth the trip to see it. So if you want to make the trip,
it's a vacation.
You can go down and see Pat in Granite Bay, California, to check out this truck that can spin the bup cab away from the bed.
So dump things.
And dump bed. So, yeah.
So you got to adjust the, quote, Z-axis by a hydraulic ram, so it doesn't really articulate as much as it. The truck moves.
Yeah, the frame can spin on itself.
Huh.
It's articulated, but it's really on the X.
The frame.
Yeah. Anyway.
Articulating, not the suspension.
There is no chance in hell.
No, you couldn't pay me to take that.
No, that's a hell of a burden.
Oh. I don't even want the parts off of it.
Yeah. You know, when people have bad ideas and somehow also the capability of making those bad ideas come to life.
Yeah.
This is what you get. This is the kind of thing that you get right here.
This guy has owned a mini truck in his life and been like, you know what I need to do push rod suspension with a Watts link and a this and a that. And like, you go, man, you know, everybody else just run a parallel four link and it works pretty well. And he says, no. I'm going to fix, this is going to have 1.5 inches more articulation and it's going to ride 10% smoother. So I have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing is an absolute nightmare.
It's ugly. How much money did he want for this atrocity?
$5,500.
You know, what a deal. Really. The dual cases and the front / rear / lighting, wheel lighting.
Wheel lighting, yeah. But, man. But he's not wrong. That is like the first time I've seen something like that. But yeah, I mean, that's not a good thing either.
Yeah. I was going to say one of the most unique 4x4s in existence on this was not a brag. That is.
No.
It's unique for sure.
Yeah.
Different doesn't always mean better, everyone.
That's correct. Okay. So I'm checking on prices here. It's this one. Okay. So this I thought was totally weird and random to come across this. What we've got here.
Sprint turbo.
Is a sprint turbo.
These are cool.
$8,000. It's got a Texas title. It's up in Seattle.
Oh my God.
But it's an American hot hatch.
This thing needs to be on Bring a Trailer. I don't know what it's doing on Facebook Marketplace.
It's got the red inlay. on the seats.
What are these? These have to be like shared with something else, right? Were they something else?
I have no idea.
Let's keep looking.
They've got an intercooler too. Look at that. Runs and drives. Look at him. He's cruising down the highway. That guy is really short in that seat. Is that a child? Oh, yeah. That's got to be a child. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a samurai. Apparently it was a small car cruise or something.
It's a Suzuki.
It's a Suzuki. Okay.
Yeah, Swift.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swift, Sprint, okay. You know, kind of means the same thing, right?
It became the Sprint, the next generation became the Geo Metro.
Yep.
Probably.
That's the one. I'd rather have that, but it's that FD.
The Metro or the RX? No,
the FD that he's cruising with. I'd rather have that than this, but nonetheless.
Yeah, well, the RX.
Man, it's pretty good.
It's not like terribly, like it's pretty clean looking, you know? It's yeah. got, it, I mean, built into yeah, the grill, exactly like an intercooler scoop. Look at that.
Engine bay of a Geo Metro.
Yeah.
That is pretty sick. Yeah, that should be on, like, Bring a Trailer or Cars and Bolts. Or...
One sold in awesome. October
Doug
for $6,600 on Bring a Trailer.
Okay. So he's priced a little high.
How much does this person want for this?
Eight. He's got it marked at $8,000.
Okay.
So... You know,
yeah, I doubt there's a strong market for those.
But... oh, come on.
The very best one of these would cost. Like, what a cool lottery dream. $12,000 gets you one with 500 miles on it or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
One sold for $10,000 the beginning of 24, and it's got 97,000 miles, but very clean.
Hmm.
Oh, interesting. Those are 12-inch wheels.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, nice. Like golf cart wheels.
Yeah. So you put some 13s on it, you're balling.
That's right.
They 12s.
But I would pay money for that. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think I would too. I think I'm in on it.
Yeah, I would. Unanimous.
Okay. So, let's move up in the price range.
Still an ovation here.
Ovation.
I think we're standing at this point.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's way too long. I'm just now seeing that it's a 36 second.
I still can't hear it.
It's a 36 second clip, so I'm cutting it off because we gotta get to this thing. This is incredible, is what this is.
Oh my
god. This is a 2013 Ford Escape
Sport
Utility. Uh-huh. $9,800. selling for a friend of mine that doesn't use Facebook. Gee, I wonder why. I understand it's not for everyone. If it's not for you, I don't need to know. Simply don't care. so apparently he's been getting some emails about this. 13 Escape EcoBoost.
Did it? Was it a different year at the top there?
No. 13.
No. Okay.
13. Okay. 89,000 miles, has retro hot rod theme with tilt front end. '67 Austin taxi cab front end with a '65 Mercedes headlights. And split bumper. The rear, though, has a 1940 Chevy taillight, 56 Buick bumper guards, cool little daily driver, quick with turbo four-cylinder, fuel efficient, 28 to 30 miles to the gallon, AC and heat work, clean title, bill of sale, and proper emissions passing slip. So... It's amazing, is what it is. And it's,
yuck. Let's see more photos, Colin.
I think that what we have here is a battle of which is the worst idea, this or the truck. Because, my God.
Aesthetically, man. I think that this is worse. But I think I would drive this over the truck because at least it's a boring-ass Ford Escape that is... I don't even know. Actually, as I say that and I see another picture of it, I think I want the Toyota. I'll take the Toyota every time. This thing
I'll
is
take
stupid.
Double. I'll take the parts off the Toyota with you know.
I'll take
double
the extra
cases,
Rocky,
a winch. There you go. The parts for the Rocky.
I'll take the parts to build a rock another Rocky. Oh man, yeah this is.
This is bad.
Yeah, I can see why this guy put in there.
I do like the if it's not for you. Instead of hello is just available, people are sending why is this available?
Why did you make this? What have you done?
Yeah, that is some terrible. Oh my God.
How many miles are on it?
It doesn't matter.
Are you really
I think
it about
might
it?
Be. Eight, no, I'm just curious. I was looking up other Ford Escapes just out of curiosity, and I think it might be like a reasonably priced Ford Escape.
89,000
miles. Yeah.
89,000
miles.
There's no way a 13 Escape holds $9,000. Oh, wait. They want 13 for it, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. It's overpriced.
Yeah. Well, it's because all the custom. No, they want 9,800.
I mean, I found
98. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the going rate for a 13 Escape without all this dumb shit done to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they're just a regular Escape, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, it's not two-tone. Yeah.
Do you want to drive around in a regular Escape or this unique automobile?
Neither.
Oh, neither. I don't think that was an option, Sean.
Two Daihatsu Rockies.
This was an A or B. Why don't you see yourself into this sweet Escape?
Boy, yeah, that's bad. Yeah. All right, so the last one I've got for you.
How are you going to top that?
How am I going to top it?
Yeah.
I found that as we were logging in. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh.
All right, what we got here? 86 Mercedes Unimog U1300L. And I didn't even pre-look at this. I just pulled it up because I know, you know, we like to look at these mainly to see what the build out looks like, to see if it, you know, fits our style. So, this has 61,900 nice miles. $125,000. He says it's no small sum of money, which is true. It's traveled all over the place, yada yada. I don't need the life story, honestly. I was just looking for. Oh, it gets an economical 13.4 miles to the gallon. The interior looks like a small apartment. That's, I mean, that's pretty well finished, it seems. Okay, so picture of it out in the woods. Large bed. So, which way are we? So, that's looking towards the back. So, bed must always be out.
Is it side?
Oh, here we go.
Side to side or something?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Side to side.
It's got a bedroom, basically.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Got our nice little floor plan here. So there's two doors out. Wow. Back door, side door.
A pass-through.
Well, is the front one a pass-through of the cab?
Yep, that would be the pass-through, yeah, because the bed's...
I think the arrow implies pass-through.
Yeah. Got a shower. I mean, that's like a regular RV freaking bathroom right there.
Pretty much, yeah.
Curious if it says what we got here. We've got the OM 3.52, 5.7 inline six. Oof. That's not much motor for that big of a rig. 130 horsepower.
Oh my God.
383 foot. But how much torque?
There you go. There it is.
Yeah. High range, low range.
Ooh, well, 322 leather.
Dang, look at that. Heating can be installed. That's a weird way to say it. Mercedes seats, but Range Rover leather. I'm confused.
That is odd.
I'm confused by that a little bit, but okay, whatever, you know, whatever. ISOFIX for child seat and seating for three.
I don't know what that.
Because it's got that weird seat, so they probably offset it so that it didn't block the pass through. 9,000 lumens of exterior.
Oh, I see. Light. And below the bedroom, below the bed, it has that big cubby. I see it now.
Mm.
Let's see. Do-do-do. Big window. Outside. Whatever that means. Distinguishing features. 200 amp hours of battery. 400 watts solar. Continental MPT 81 tires. Five of them. Which, by the way, one of them is on the roof. Which is going to be really fun
to get down.
If you've got to get that thing down. 80 gallons of fresh water. Bathroom, shower, diesel furnace, and water heater. It's got a awning with back wall. Yeah, spare
sewer
wheel.
Alternator.
Oh, there we go. Spare wheel on roof with electrical winch.
All right.
Oh.
Roof mounted winch. That's
gas.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Garage area with interior and exterior access. Garage
area. That's that under the bed thing.
Oh. Bedroom with bookcase. Clothes, closet, LED. Okay. Those do look like Range Rover. That does look like a Range Rover seat. Weird.
Hmm.
So apparently that's just a thing that L322 leather fits over Mercedes seats. Sure. Cool.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting fact. Little known fact. Okay, yeah. So there's the door to the bathroom. And the little cubby step into the thing. Interesting. Okay, well, what do you think?
I'm in.
125?
Like
yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's too slow.
Yeah, for 120, yeah, I mean.
Blah, 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 but I think
125 seems like it's not bad for what you're getting. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you're traveling the world...
I think you're getting a lot of rig for 125.
Yeah. Live in, travel.
As long as you're not
in
a hurry.
People do that. They, like, they'll sell their house and... I mean, you sell your house, you still have a lot of money left over to live. With 125,000
more. Yep. It's true. Well, I mean, depending on where your house is that you're selling.
Yeah, I mean... The median home value in the United States. Whatever. You know, it's like, whatever. But.
Yes.
That's all I had for you.
Cool. Yeah, I think that was awesome. Thanks.
You're welcome.